Hello, and welcome to our Children's Rights in Action podcast series. Here at Children's Parliament, we believe that children should grow up in a world of love, happiness, and understanding. It's our mission to inspire greater awareness and understanding of the power of children's human rights and to support the implementation of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, the UNCRC, into Scots law. We're looking forward to sharing this with you through our conversations. Today, we speak with Kate Cudahy, our National Programmes Programme Manager, and Dr. Andrew Williams of St Andrews University, who are here to introduce us to Children's Parliament's newest project, Food and Fairness, in partnership with St Andrews University. Hello there, my name is Jess and I'm the Communications and Campaigns Manager here at Children's Parliament. In today's episode of Children's Rights in Action, I'm delighted to be joined by Kate Cudahy, our National Programmes Programme Manager, and Dr. Andrew Williams of St Andrews University, who are working together on our Food and Fairness Programme. Welcome everyone. Can I please ask you to introduce yourselves?
Okay. Hi there. I'm Kate Cudahy. I'm Programme Manager for National Programmes at Children's Parliament.
Hi, I'm Dr. Andrew Williams. I'm a Senior Lecturer in Public Health at the University of St Andrews, and I do research around the health of children and adolescents.
Marvellous. Thanks, Faye. I wondered, just to kind of start us off a little bit, if you might like to tell us where this programme has come from, and particularly kind of what was the interest from Children's Parliament and St Andrews?
Thanks, Jess. We recognise that kind of food is critical to health, and a lot of research goes on kind of collecting data about the food we eat and what impact it has on our health. But it's a fairly recent idea that we've kind of understood food to be something more than just calories or carbohydrates, understanding the kind of social position of food, understanding what role it plays in our lives. And it's important that we work with children to understand what food means to them in order to know what data they want to provide for research and how we can go about improving the health of children and improving the diets available to them. There's been a couple of really interesting projects around this. We have something like Bite Back 2030, which is working with older children, looking at where they access food, where kind of food is advertised to them. We spotted there was a bit of a gap around kind of working with younger people. So I was excited to be able to approach the Children's Parliament to do a bit of work here.
Thanks for that, Andrew. And also sort of from our end, we've sort of noticed that whenever we do projects with children, obviously the concept of fairness comes up all the time. Like children see fairness wherever they go, or they see injustice wherever they go. And with food, it's a funny topic. Whenever you talk to children, the one topic that comes up, regardless of what you're doing, is food. So you could be talking about, for example, artificial intelligence. They'll mention shops, they'll mention restaurants, they'll mention their food. And so it is one of these topics. It's a great unifier amongst children because there's always common ground, but there's also a lot of division as well, because we talk about things, they might have different access to food, or there might be different cultural expectations around food. And what we've found as well with this project, when we're looking at food and fairness, is we're linking it into food and play and exercise, food and access. That's something that's come up quite recently. We've talked to the children about food and community, food in their family. That's always a really, really important one. And also the food in the environment. And we're not just talking about the local environments, the shops in the local area, the restaurants in the local area, but the impact it has on the wider environment, climate change. And that was something we saw in a report we recently did on milk production, milk availability in schools, and children brought up environmental concerns there. So I think from our end, it was to do with the aspects of fairness. And it was so exciting to work alongside a great champion of children's rights at St Andrews as well. So that's been a great fun to start this project.
That's really super. And you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking we recently did a podcast episode with Arden and Omaima, who are MCPs who travelled to Geneva. Mm-hmm. As part of Team Scotland to go and present kind of the state of children's rights in Scotland. It's really exciting. And I loved it because at the end of their podcast episode, we asked them to ask each other questions. And the questions they asked were, what was your favourite food? What was, you know, and I think it's Omaima who'd had like the best chicken wrap. And it was just... And then I'd also interviewed Kathy and Rona to talk about their experiences of being the adults on this trip. And they told me all about the chocolate and the cheese and the cakes. And you're right. It's so embedded into every aspect, I just think this is such an interesting project. I'm so excited to hear what you guys come up with at the end. Andrew, I don't want to put you on the spot, so you can say no to me. But I wondered, from a, you're obviously coming at this from a research perspective, and what we're hoping to do is kind of look at, through this project and through the lens of food and fairness, what a children's rights-based approach to research might look like or can look like. And I'd wondered if you have any reflections thus far, and I do appreciate we're at the very beginning of this work, but just in the preparation of what it's been like to work with Children's Parliament, and through our kind of more rights-based lens.
I'm aware of Children's Parliament because of many years ago I was fortunate to come and visit one of the sittings, and there's nothing quite as exciting as being in a room, whether it's children or adults, of people who have access to their rights and know that. I think that's really important. And I think, especially coming from, as a health researcher, there's been a lot of interest around patient and public involvement in research and making sure the voices of patients are heard. So I, you know, I'm coming from an area of research where this is more common, but going to that next step of a fully rights-based approach where you're sat there in a level playing field, we're sat on the floor in a circle in these classrooms, you know, interacting with the children like we're one of them, is really important. And I think especially as a researcher coming into a space, you're quite often brought in as an expert. Yeah. And it's how to do that in a way that's like, yeah, well, I have certain bits of expertise around methods, but I don't have the lived experience and expertise of all these people. And we have such diverse experiences that kind of getting in and genuinely having that level playing field, that engagement with people is really important to doing things differently. And with this project, we've done the kind of typical Children's Parliament things, like the practice of raising a hand to bring the room to silence, and just the children seeing that they can do that and the adults will go quiet as well, is really important, and that we won't kind of over talk, we'll listen, their voices are equal to ours in the conversation.
No, absolutely. And I'm very aware, as I was saying, you know, this is quite the start of the project, that actually I'm right in thinking, aren't I, you met the investigators for the first time as a team this week, 2 days ago?
Very
fresh, very new. So what was that like? How was it to bring them all together? Because Kate, can you tell us a little bit about where the investigators have come from for this?
Sure. Yes, we started the investigation on Tuesday. It was really exciting. So it was 12 children who came together. And investigators are a very CP term, and they form part of our investigation. It's not secret squirrel stuff. It's all quite above board, and it's a good fun exercise. So we're working with two primary schools in Glenrothes, and they're very close to one another, and physically close. They're about a 10-minute walk between the two schools, so we can move between the schools quite easily. And we, in February, we did two one-day workshops in the schools, so one in first primary school and the next day in the second one. And as Andrew said, we created a Children's Parliament in each of these schools, and we basically took over the space, their classroom, and we were really fortunate in the classroom teachers and the head teachers at the very beginning of their school's rights journey, and they're really keen to learn from us and embed rights in their school's practice. And during these one-day workshops, we sort of introduce rights and concepts of rights and create this equal space, and children get to participate. They get to meet Andrew, they get to meet the CP adults as well, and they get to see their teachers in different ways as well, because the teachers join in and we sit on the floor together and we share our ideas. And we initially started off by looking at the concept of rights and the idea of rights to precious jewels. And we then got the children to talk about rights in their life and what rights mean to them. And then we started addressing the concepts of food, and we actually looked at food and access to food, and mainly in their local community, within school, at home, and the wider community. And we do these activities, a lot of group work, a lot of listening, a lot of sharing, developing skills. And it's fun as well. I mean, when we talk about it, it all sounds quite heavy going, but we do it in a very lighthearted way. It's very games-based. There's a lot of opportunities for people to speak. And we talk about these investigators, and investigators are children who would benefit. The main thing is they would benefit from the programme. And there's a tendency to think that it's that person who's all got their hand up in the class. So, you know, I think that we could identify with who that I'm sorry, I certainly was that person. And we often choose children who might not normally get the opportunity to engage in a democratic process at such a young age, or children who've shown a real interest in it, but they're never really on any committees at school, or their eco group, or their playground tidy up group, or children who might who want to do it. They have to want to do it because there is a consent element as well. So we're very fortunate, and then we had 12 children, six from each class, an equal mix of boys and girls. And we did this in consultation with the school teacher. We said, you know, would they benefit from it? And we actually all had the same list, because there was a couple of children in one of the classes, because I only went to one of the workshops, so I can't talk about the other one. And it was a boy who was just a bit shy, and he kind of came to life. So we thought, brilliant, he'd be a perfect account. And he's straight away, he was, you know, he was, we chose him. So we choose children, don't not normally choose him. Because it was just before the Easter holidays, the letters, we had to obviously get consent from parents, you know, explain the project to them. And they came back in for the Easter holidays. And on Tuesday, Renew and I went to one of the primary schools where we've got a base. And Kirsty, who's one of the project workers on the project, and I walked to the other school, picked the children up. It was a lovely sunny day in St Andrews, and we turned up at the Glenrothes, sorry, not St Andrews, and we turned up at the other school. And the first session was great, because it was the first time the children all met one another as a group. And there's that initial awkwardness that they'll only sit in their class, their school group, but then they have to start mixing, and they have to start working together. And we all came away with a really positive buzz from it, because the children came up with some lovely ideas, really creative ideas, and it flew by. It was an hour and a half session, and literally Raneem, who's one of the project workers in the study, said, oh, it's the end. And I was like, what? We haven't even started, you know, because it was so much fun and everything. And we taught, and the children in that first session, we talked about food and identity. And so what food means to them. And as part of that, the because they're investigators, they've also got to take top secret missions back to their class. And they've gone back to their class with a mission, and it's to create a self-portrait of themselves, but using food. So that you can have like tomatoes for eyes, or noodles for hair, or sausages for a mouth, or something like that. And the children have got to answer questions about what food means to them and how food makes them feel. So we then get the results back of that and from the class, and that forms part of our project. And then next week, we're seeing the children again on Tuesday, and we're going to be looking at food and marketing and education, which is going to be very interesting, because, you know, talk about things like Prime, because it's just coloured water. So, but, you know, so that'll be good fun. So that's how we came to the investigation stage on Tuesday.
But I suppose what I'm sat there with really as well, listening to you talk, is how broad the topics are. And kind of in my head, really trying to filter that through that, you know, I really appreciate you sharing what it means to build a children's parliament. And actually, when you're talking about, like, there are specific things that we do. So, you know, if somebody wants to speak or get everybody's attention, as you were saying, we do hands up. And I love the fact that even though this is an audio recording, I am still doing my hands up, like with the visual representation. So we all know I would like attention. But there's those spaces, and there is something as well, Kate, that you were referring to, in terms of we're going in to see children in their sort of own environments. Really wrote a brilliant blog about this and what that's like to go in and observe's the wrong word, but kind of take in what the children are like in their natural settings. God, that sounds like we're watching them in the wild. But like, it's you know, but to kind of get that dynamic that you've all talked about, so that they're used to you as much as you're used to them, and they then can consent to the project that you're doing, because they know a little bit more about you and the way in which that you work. But to try and balance all that as well for these children, so there's all these new sort of concepts that might be coming at them, and new ways of working in with the same people, like their teachers, or in the same spaces, but then also to have these really quite big topics that they're going through at the same time. I wondered if you might want to talk to me a little bit about how you've broken those topics down for them to make them a little bit more bite-sized. I know we've looked at missions and things, and I'll come back to that. But if there was anything around how we break the topics down for for the children, but I'm also imagining for the adults in those rooms as well.
Yeah, so breaking down the topics, yeah, they are really hard to get your head around, because the first thing, food, of course, I know about food. We all have food. We all have access. We all need food. We all use food. And then when you think of it in a deeper sense, like, actually, what does food mean? Because it's not fuel. It's about who you are and, you know, and you know, we all have different, you know, even it's your favourite or your least favourite food or things like that. So I think in terms of breaking down the topics, we put a big emphasis on creativity and fun, obviously, in the work. And we did sort of, we kind of get where the children would access the idea of food. So to start off the first session we had on Tuesday, we actually asked the classroom teachers to find out their favorite snacks, and we took in a selection of their favorite snacks. We had to be quite careful because one of them was ice cream, so we can't really take ice cream in, and one of them was pizza, you know, we're cold pizza, so we had to be quite sort of sensible and have a nice mix of fruit and sweet stuff and all the rest of it. And the idea was to tell children what it meant to them, so they could say, well, actually, I like watermelon. There was a young boy who's saying, but I like watermelon because I'm from Peru and that's a product from Peru. Or another one was a certain chocolatey, moussey, caramelly yogurt beginning with R. And of course, they didn't want to touch them because they were like, oh, they're a treat. And it was like, no, you can have a shot of them. They meant something special because they'd have them at parties or birthdays or something like that. So I think in sort of making the topics, breaking them down, is to sort of relate them to their own lives. So we talk about, you know, food as celebration. You know, when's food special to you? When I celebrate my birthday or Christmas or Eid, or when I'm with my family or something like that. So we'd sort of break it down in relatable terms as well, and just sort of make it sort of relevant to their own lives and sort of aspects from their own life. And also they've got the input as well. You know, it is a child-led project, so we want to know what they think, because it is about them.
I think we can also talk a little bit about how the project really got started, because I approached Children's Parliament and there was quite a long lead-in phase where we were just talking together and going, right, what's the Children's Parliament's experience based on having had conversations with children about food? What do we know from a research perspective might be of interest to look at? And we spent we had Teams meetings, we had in-person meetings, we were just having these conversations and kind of putting things out. And then we kind of got to this list of about six different topics, isn't it, Kate, we're going to work through of different things we'd looked at. And one of the projects that kind of led me down this way of thinking was, you know, back with Jamie Oliver and a big push for healthier lunchboxes. Yeah. Some researchers had gone in and kind of thought, well, we just telling children and parents to have healthier lunchboxes, what does that mean? How does it connect? And they'd found that for children, there was a kind of status connected to having the big brands and names in your lunchbox. And if you didn't have the big brands and names in your lunchbox, you could be teased and bullied. And I was like, this is really interesting. It's picking up on something much bigger. The study sticks with me because I'm a big sci-fi geek, and the study kind of found that the sci-fi geeks in the schools they could choose what they liked to have in their lunchbox, because it didn't matter. Nothing was going to make them cool anyway. So it didn't really, but I think kind of suddenly understanding that, you know, we see it as adults, you know, what you bring into the office to eat and how your colleagues react to what you're eating really matters. So understanding an element of that. We obviously understand food in terms of the chemicals that make it up and what impact it has on the body. And we know that people want information about what food to choose. So we started kind of breaking down topics that way, I think. And it's interesting, you know, as Kate said earlier, we picked up on climate change and that awareness of where food's coming from, food miles. You know, you quite quickly get a list and break it up into different aspects that make sense together. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, each of these investigation days, we're only going in for an hour and a half. There's a limit to what we can cover. So finding kind of little chunks that we could take off and would make sense to the children to explore in one go, what we did.
You know, and you've absolutely taken me back. That idea around brands and bits and pieces. And I remember as far back, and I'm going to age myself here, as when I was doing my business studies A-level, and my business studies teacher was horrified because she'd had a little boy had come round to her house, one of her son's friends, and refused to eat Branston beans because he went Heinz. And Heinz should be beans. That old beans should be Heinz.
And she
brilliantly turned this into a whole topic of like marketing and impact and looking at it that way, which is how the lens that we looked through it. But that was just immediately where you took me back to, in that sense of, you know, this also isn't something new. You know, we've absolutely been talking about this and thinking about this for a really long time, and the things that were affected aren't new or are affecting us. A lot of the time I think we think social media is the one that that is the big push for lots of influence, and actually, like, gold standard marketing, they had it down pat. Which I find that truly fascinating. Yeah. So I am a little bit aware of time. And I really wanted to ask you kind of where are we hoping this goes next? So there's two sides to that. There's what are we hoping we'll be able to do with the research that we pull from our investigators? And then my second question will be, where can folk who are listening to this podcast and interested in learning more find out more?
From my perspective, where this is going to go next is where the children want it to go. Mm-hmm. We're setting some topics, and I genuinely want to hear what their thoughts and ideas are. Mm. You know, we get accused as academics of sitting in our ivory towers and coming up with stuff. That's not how I want to practice. So it's kind of right, let's hear what the ideas are. And then my hope next is, based on what we find, we can develop these into a research project. I'm particularly interested at the moment around what data are young people prepared to give us and their parents, because once we've got data, we can start finding out how to change things or what to do differently. So that's my big hope, is to know what it is that children are interested in about food, what they'd be prepared to tell us, so that we can develop research projects from there. And I'm prepared to go where the children are prepared to point me, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think because of obviously Andrew working in the academic world, we're more sort of focused on the influencing side, I suppose, is the word I'm sort of looking for, I think. I think with in terms of the project, where I want to see it go next is to have the children's voices heard on the topic. And, you know, we are hoping to share this with people who are influential in the food and the food world in Fife and maybe beyond, you know, because they have got important things to say, and they, you know, it does affect them. And, you know, where children are bringing up points related to, you know, cost of living, and they've heard of in the news, and, you know, they know it's there, but they don't quite know what it is. And that's important, because they need, you know, you need to know, because it is affecting them, or relationships of families, you know, is affecting their food. And because the time we're working, Glenrothes, a lot of it's very much built around the car. We were talking to one girl who talked about having a gluten intolerance, because the local shops didn't really cater it. You know, your local corner shop that sells your crisps and your pop and everything in the papers. So, you know, it was really difficult for her family to get things for people who are gluten intolerant. And if you didn't have a car, how are you going to access the big superstores that had much more choice? So I think it is my hope for next steps is that children get heard on what's being said, and people take it seriously and maybe think, oh, actually, yeah, let me think about that and take it on there.
So if anybody listening would like to hear more about your programme of work, where could they go and what could they read up on?
Well, we've currently got posts put out on our social media feeds, so on Twitter, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and blog posts. I think I've got that right. We're also hoping to have a page on our website when we've got a little bit more content to put on it. And eventually, we're already started speaking about this, I mean, because time sure flies when you're having fun, is that we've got the report coming out hopefully in mid to late August about our findings that we'll be sharing with St Andrews and beyond, hopefully, so people will be able to see it there.
And I will be frantically retweeting all those things, so you're welcome to follow me on Twitter at Andrew J Williams, but with a 3 instead of the S at the end.
And what I'll do is I will put in the bio to this episode the links to the blogs and the reports that we've got out already. And I'll also put in the Twitter channel handles and any other social media bits and pieces so that people can easily find it. That is super. So thank you ever so much both for all of your time today. I really appreciate you coming along to share more about your work with us. Everybody else, please stay tuned to find out more. Thank you ever so much for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about our work, please visit www.childrensparliament.org.uk.